straighten it out. On the other hand, if you're planning on leaving earlier than your reservation states, also please stop so that we can sort of juggle and, you know, the people that are leaving a little earlier than anticipated can be matched up with those that want to stay over, and we can keep the hotel reasonably pacified. All right, I have a number of people I would like to thank for this 35th World Science Fiction Convention. The list, as usual, is long, and I hope I'll be able to get through and include everybody who has really worked their off for this convention. We have, of course, the people that appeared in the program book, but beyond that, there are also the people who volunteered at the last minute, who suddenly got dragooned at the last minute, or somehow were gang-pressed into working on this convention. They have really worked hard. We have, of course, as I mentioned, the people in the program book, Jeannie DeMonica, Perdita Boardman, Ira Riddle, Steve Davidson, Bob Hillis, Larry Smith, Mike Walsh, Gary Farber, Rick Newman, Joe Sicilari, Lee Smorey, George Sithers, Don Sobuck, Dave Kyle, Joe Sicilari, Ginger Buchanan, Karina Sicilari, Art Saha, Bruce and Flo Newrock, John Douglas, Elliot Shorter, Ross Pavlak, and his minions. Although his minions don't appear in the program book. But in addition to some of these people, we have some people that helped in the banquet area, Chris DeVito, Tom Park, believe it or not, Julie Andrews, Sempton Shitako. On the masquerade, helping George Sithers, we had Yale Etikin, Mike Lixon, Candice Massey, Ben Yallo, and Ron Bounds. We had a whole large number of people that helped on registration, and the one that turned out to be actually the most help for all of us was Ara Pashinian, who is a person over here from Spain. Speaks I don't know how many languages and was very adept at smoothing out the language problems that you get in an international convention. There was also Seth Breadfart, Sue Francis, Barry Amos, Ken Levison, Polly Riddle, Ira Riddle, Debbie Sobick, Bob Rome, Melody Levinson, Lynn Cohen, Laurie Anderson, Johnny Adams, Sue Ray Rosenfeld, that helped tremendously. There were also in the area of the operations with Ross Pavlak in charge, there was Larry Smith, Greg Bennett, Kathy Schaefer, Kurt and Mahalia Stubbs, Dalroy Ward, Bob Hillis, Jack and Susan Young, Tim Kiger. And I think by now you get the general impression that just about everybody here worked in this convention in one form or the other. And they have. They have really worked hard to put together a fantastic convention. So if all these people that worked on the convention could please stand, I personally would like to give them a round of applause. Please stand. I have a few minor announcements before I turn them over, turn the actual announcements of the Hugo Awards over to Mr. Silverberg. Will the person who purchased the spot in Jack Chalker's next novel please contact them as soon as possible so that he can have your name and address, vital statistics, whatever. One last minute one. The sound from this Hugo Awards banquet is being transmitted live to the Northwest Science Fiction Society in Seattle. So say hello for the Northwestern fans. I'm sure if they could shout back, they would. Registration for the 1979 North Americon in Louisville, Kentucky will be open 15 minutes after the banquet in the registration area. And if you wish to pick up your registration, you can do so there. At this time, it is my privilege to introduce to you Mr. Robert Silverberg, our toastmaster for the award ceremony. He is reluctantly inching his way out of the chair, working his way forward, and he will actually present the Hugos to you.
Okay. the Worldcon, the banquet. Here we are in Mia Mifla. We're all going to have to work very hard tonight. I have to be funny for the next 4.5 hours. You have to applaud a lot. Let's do a few warm-up exercises to see how well you applaud. Not good enough. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Harlan Ellison. Wombats. Okay. You see how easy it is? You don't even have to tell jokes up here. You don't have to sing and dance. You just go straight to the Spanish unconscious, and the audience is yours. How many of you are unconscious at this moment? How many of you belong to Save Our Children? I mean, this is Dade County. The last time I was Toastmaster, gays hadn't even been invented yet. Well, maybe they had, but no one had told me about them. Time before that, when I was Toastmaster, we were just inventing drugs. That was the Baycon in 68. Remember the Baycon? Okay, Mia Mifla, did that mean anything to you? Yeah. Actually, this is Mia Bifla, I guess, but that's not the way Cordwainer Smith wrote it. I didn't notice what Mia Mifla meant. I'm not as bright as I used to be. A man named Tony Lewis, who was involved in the 1971 World Convention, explained it to me once. And I believed it because Tony Lewis is a bald man who began growing hair back on the top of his head, and I figure he knows what he's doing. I have a few announcements. You know, you do know that this convention began in Orlando, Florida. And by subtle manifestations of the karmic force, got down to Miami Beach. Okay. The committee has asked me to point out tomorrow's program will be held in the Okeechobee Ramada Inn. Tuesday in the St. Petersburg Hilton. Wednesday, the Tampa Travel Lodge. And Thursday's Fort Lauderdale Sheraton. I'll repeat that just in case you didn't get it straight. Tomorrow in the Fort Lauderdale Sheraton. As for Save Our Children and all that stuff, I come before you as the representative of the San Francisco Greater Bay Area Heterosexual Underground. I'm not quite the last of my kind out there because I see Terry Carr sitting down before me. And I think he's still... What do you say? I can hear you perfectly well. Okay, well, I'm not responsible for the sound. I have some buttons here. Maybe they amplify things. Let's see. Oh, terrific. Is that better? I can't see you as well now. Can you hear me better? I know a joke to go with that, but I... Hi there. That got me further away from the microphone. Let's see. It's just like Alice in Wonderland. You nibble this side of the mushroom. Is this thing really being sent off to Seattle? They don't know what the hell I'm doing now, do they? Okay. Anita Bryant. Good. As I understand it, the Dade County gay activist is a fellow named John Campbell. And who would have guessed that when John rose again, it was as a gay activist? Tell you a story about John Campbell. long as his name came up in this grotesque context. I always tell John Campbell jokes when I'm Toastmaster. He had a good sense of humor. This is a coarse joke, actually. In the program book, that Harlan did a wonderful thing all about me and said that Silverberg does not use coarse language, and that's true. I really don't, except occasionally, but sometimes I tell coarse jokes. This is a scatological John Campbell story. Look at Peg down there blanching and waving. I was a very young writer. This was about 20 years ago, and I had just sold a couple of stories to Astounding, as Analog was called in those dim, dark days. And I was up in John's office, and he was talking about the stories, and then he said, let's go out to lunch. And we left the office, and we went down this long, winding, dim, spiderwebby corridor, and we passed the men's room. And John said, just a minute, let's go in here. And we stopped in there, and there I was at one stall, and there was the great editor of Astounding Science Fiction at the next, and I'm 21 years old, and I've just sold a couple of stories to this magazine. And it struck me with blinding force, my God, John Campbell also pees. Now, there is a law of karmic return in the universe in which I firmly believe. Yesterday, I was in the John. And I was standing at stall 3. And there was a younger fan who's probably in this room hiding under his seat at this moment, right next to me. And I came in and stood there, and he looked over there and he said, oh, wow, you guys do it too. Made me feel very, very old. Let's introduce the people crouching down here before me at the head table. You've been wondering who's been sitting before you all night. I'm going to call off their names very quickly. That blank space there used to be occupied by Don Lendry, who used to be the chairman of this convention. Next to Don's former space is Grace Lendry, holding God knows what Lendry there in her hands. Who is that? Sausalito Lendry, I think she said. That is Blanche Williamson, Mrs. Guest of Honor. Don't applaud. Jack Williamson, professional guest of honor. Well, you applauded anyway. Robert Madel, the fan guest of honor. Billy Madel, the Mrs. Fan guest of honor, and Marta Randall. Now, we've got a ton of awards tonight. I mean, that's just a few of them there. But I also have all these announcements to make. First of all, hey, where is that Wookiee? I don't see him. Hey, Wookiee, King Kong is waiting for you in the Chateaubriand room. Okay, second thing, the showing of A Boy and His Wombat, Midnight Flambeau Room. Third, I can't remember all of these things, but I've written them down somewhere. Oh, the Son of Sam autographing party was a terrific success. And Mr. Berkowitz says he will do it again tomorrow. Once again, blood donors only. You didn't like that, huh? Didn't like it yesterday either. Give you another one. One half hour after the banquet, Joan Rapkin will dance the Sentinel Transcendent and Sesame Strip in the East Ballroom. Sesame Strip, yes. If you didn't believe the last three announcements, don't believe that one either. Let's see now. Century 21 slideshow will be repeated by popular demand tomorrow at 10 a.m. in Everglades A. Got it? And Flesh Gordon has arrived. will be shown tonight at 3 a.m. in the fill room. Admission limited to those 12 years old and older. As for Topper Takes a Trip, that is tomorrow noon, I suppose, in the film room. Okay. It was a terrific hurricane you did for me yesterday. Where is Landry, anyway? Hiding in the wings, yeah. I flew in from California Thursday night with Marta and Liz Lynn and Terry Carr. We haven't had rain in Northern California, some of you may have heard, since the 14th century or so, it seems. We came in and there's this wet stuff falling out of the sky. And I went over to the Hertz booth and picked up my car, little Pinto, and drove the car out of the airport in increasingly heavy rain. And Liz noticed that there were ants crawling around in the car. Well, I said, it's tropical here, you know, you can expect all sorts of things. We drove on about 5 minutes and Terry said, hey, the ants are leaving the car. Got out on the MacArthur Causeway and blew a tire. The ants knew what they were doing. Well, we sat there in the downpour for a while. Marta got out and found a police phone and called the police and said, hey, here we are in a Hertz car. Please tell Hertz to come and get us. And some hours later they did and got us another car, which curiously enough blew a tire this morning. Also a Pinto. I now have a Cutlass. Anyway, it was terrific to be in that little hurricane on Thursday night. It was even better to be in the one on Friday night. I'm delighted, Mrs. Landry, with the weather that you people cooked up for us the first 2 days here. And if any members of the committee would like to come to California for our next earthquake, I think... preferably do it for the L.A. Westercon. I live a little north of there, and... Shall we give out the Yugos now and go home? No chance. We have traditions in this business. You know, this is about my 25th Worldcon. I've watched these traditions accumulate. I went to one convention, I forget which one it was, but it was somewhere back in the middle 50s, where they gave out the Yugos on the first night. It just didn't mean very much back then. And they figured they'd get it out of the way. And so they called everybody together and said, here are the awards. And they handed the awards out to a bunch of people no one had ever heard of and went home. That wasn't too bad compared with what they did in San Francisco in 54, when they didn't, in fact, award the Hugos at all. We have picked up some traditions. I have a little tradition, which I do as Toastmaster. Each time I'm Toastmaster, I award the 1954 Hugos. I gave them out in 68 to a whole lot of people. I gave them all in 71 to Harlan. And I'm happy to tell you tonight that the 1954 Hugos go to no award. Another announcement here. Tropical Storm Harlan is now approaching. All right, that's enough. Enough nonsense. We have so much official business to do tonight. I have to introduce all of you, you know. I will introduce some of you. We have among us, from far-off exotic Great Britain, the Transatlantic Fan Fund delegate, Peter Roberts, who has... We have kept him well hidden for the entire convention, but I see he is down there in the most amazing orange suit. And Peter, do you want to come up and say hello to these people? How is your English?
I think you need an exposure of about a 50th of a second for this one. Thanks very much to... Thanks very much to all of you for a fine convention. Thanks for voting for Taft. Thanks also for voting for me. And I hope you will support Taft in all future times. We shall be collecting money, I dare say, as always. And I hope to see the rest of you, if I haven't seen you already, sometime within the next couple of days or at the British bidding party tonight. Thanks very much indeed. Cheers.
I love the way they handle the language. Period at the end of every sentence. Let's get a few more raggle-taggle people up here to say hello before we get down to the brass tacks. Our fan guest of honor is sitting down there counting his chins. He spoke to you yesterday, but he only spoke to about 12 of you. Bob Madel, why don't you come up here and deliver your entire speech all over again?
I disagree, Bob. There were at least 15 out there. Well, I'm really deeply honored to have been chosen fan guest of honor. I never thought it would ever happen, and it should prove to be an inspiration to many of you younger fans out there. Just hang around about 40 or 45 years, and you might all make it. I'm really enjoying this exalted status, living up there in the 16th floor penthouse. And normally, my wife, who isn't exactly a science fiction fan, after 3 or 4 days at a convention, is ready to go home, but not this time. This time, she wants to stay 3 or 4 more days. One thing I noticed about this convention, that is, when I read that little item about no ice machines or no Cokes, I said, oh, my God, what's going to happen? A convention with no ice machines or Cokes, but it doesn't seem to affect anything. I've never seen so many open parties. Last night, there must have been at least 15 of them. There was one in particular. You walked into this very large room, and people grabbed you and talked to you with a southern drawl and handed you a silver cup with some very odd liquor in it with a couple leaves on the top of it. And it was the first time I ever drank anything like that, and they were terrific. And curiously enough, that group won the NASFIC convention today. So there was a method to their madness. Now, I think as Don Lundry stated, the committee deserves a lot of credit in putting on this convention. After all, they're all from New Jersey, New York, and places like Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Now, how do you put on a convention from there? What do? Just call up the hotel here and say we're going to have 2,000 or 3,000 people down there on certain days and hold the rooms open. Apparently, that's the way it worked. Now, somebody just mentioned to me tonight, you know, this might be a good idea. Future committees should just look around for some area like this where you have a hotel that nobody's going to be at anyway and... It works out real well. I really think this is certainly one of the best conventions I ever attended. And despite some, forebodings of doom by various people, it's come off, as far as I'm concerned, perfectly. Thanks very much.
What happened to that Wookiee? Back from King Kong yet? Got another bulletin here. Wookie, Elliot Shorter is waiting for you in the souffle room. Okay. Let's do an award. Let's do a sort of an award. It's not even a 1951 Yuga. There is an organization called First Fandom. I am not old enough to belong to First Fandom.
There's an organization called Second Fandom that I hear was put together the other day, and I think I make that. But anyway, First Fandom consists of people who were reading science fiction before 1914. And, oh, that was unkind. 1922. And they get together every year in their palsied way and select a science fiction writer even older than they to honor. You know there were no Hugos given out in 1922 or 1914 or for that matter in 1954, although eventually I'm going to get around to it. The First Fandom Award will be presented tonight by... Where is he? I don't... Snap, snap, snap. J.K. Klein. Oh.
Well, to amplify on Bob Silverberg's remarks about the First Fandom Award, we must say that this award is being given to those persons, just one per year, it's being given to those persons who would have won Hugos back in those dim, distant days when there weren't any Hugos. And they're also being given by the very same people who would have given those awards had Hugos existed. Now, 57 years ago, a young lad of 17 years of age sold his first story and then proceeded to support himself and by writing right down to the present day, put himself, like Isaac Asimov later, through a journalism school. Isaac, of course, was a scientific career. And when I think of this man who was to receive the First Fandom Award, I think of such science fiction stories as the John Carstairs of Mars detective stories. I think of the fantasy, weird tale of the Hounds of Tyndalos. And if you can get a first edition Arkham House for less than $100, you're doing well. Now, this man, Frank Belknap Long, now, Frank, or sometimes Belknap, depending upon your age as to what you called him. Now, Frank was a very close friend of H.P. Lovecraft and a member of the Lovecraft Circle. Now, to show you how close he was to the absolute grandmaster of fantasy, Lovecraft, when Lovecraft died, he allowed, in his will, I believe, six persons to continue to write the Cthulhu mythos. And one of those was Frank Belknap Long. Also allowed to use Lovecraft's idea book. Now, Frank Belknap Long could not be here today. He's 74 years old, still writing in good health, but he just was not able to make it. I know he would have loved to be here. And it's very fitting, I think, that on behalf of Frank Belknap Long, the award is to be received by another master of fantasy, a man who won the Gandalf Award last year at the Mid-Americon, a friend of Frank Belknap Long's for 40 years, L. Sprague de Camp.
As Jay says, Frank and I have been friends for 40-odd years. It goes back to the middle 1930s when Frank and I were fellow members of a small, informal group of fantasy and science fiction enthusiasts, which included John Campbell, Hank Kuttner, Jack Williamson, Ed Hamilton, Mort Weisinger, and several others. We gathered more or less monthly. The refreshments consisted usually of somebody's ice cream and cake. And Frank is an extremely gifted writer who has written many pieces of permanent interest even today, and the honor is all mine to accept this award on his behalf. Thank you.
Someday, I hope Second Fandom gets around to making a few of these things. Well, as long as we're on the subject of First Fandom and venerable Eolithic figures... Ah, yes, he's shaking his head and starting to twitch a little bit. We have our professional guest of honor down there, Jack Williamson. Come on up, Jack.
Thank you. I can think of quite a number of people who I feel are equally worthy, maybe more so than I am, to be here but for the grace of the committee. But I feel also that my own satisfaction sort of overbalances my pain for their loss, so no more about that. When I saw my first copy of Amazing Stories back in 1926, I never expected it to lead to this sort of thing. What I want to do here is simply to express a great deal of gratitude to the Don Lundry, Grace, the committee for their very fine hospitality. The convention suit, for example, my only regret there is that we failed to bring our servants to match the splendor of the establishment. Gratitude to all the committee, and especially to Bob Silverberg as an MC for his unprecedented mindless kindness, generosity, and so forth. And to all of you for being here, from Blanche and myself, well, I want to give you our thanks and our love.
Thank you, Jack. I used up all the unkind things I could say about Williamson yesterday. All I am left with is, gee, I'm glad that he's the guest of honor tonight. That's enough applause for Williamson. He's now guest of honor emeritus, actually. I mean, enough's enough. And we have a whole table of spaghetti to give out before I can let you go on to the party. There is, you know, in the convention world, a tradition is anything you do twice, I guess. But this is a well-established tradition. We have among the various subsidiary awards that orbit the Yugos like stray pieces of satellites, we have something called the Big Heart Award, which is a project that Rory Ackerman has spearheaded for the last 74 conventions. Fori, a neighbor of mine down there in Los Angeles, about 400 miles down the coast, and every few years I invite Fori up to give out this award in honor of his old friend E. Everett Evans. Fori, if you can, come forward now.
This is the portion of the program where we turn back the clock about 20 years to remember a marvelous fan who came out of fandom into prodom, sold about 50 stories, but really never left fandom. As I look out at these faces, I see that so many of them are so young that I imagine the name of E. Everett Evans primarily means to you being down in the Huckster room and coming across a book such as Man of Many Minds or Alien Minds or perhaps a collection Food for Demons, which is not the biography of the banquet this evening, but that E. Everett Evans would just be a byline to you of an author. You would have to have been coming to these world conventions for a little over 20 years in order to remember the man himself. And if you remember him, then you remember his great kindnesses and generosities, many times that he has reached into his pocket to feed a hungry fan and house them in his home and give them professional help and so on. So after Ev died, we decided that each year we would honor someone who served fandom in a somewhat similar capacity. We have at least four individuals with us tonight who have previously won the Big Heart Award. There's Sam Moskowitz, right down here in front of us, our own fan guest of honor, Robert Madel. I'm sure it's somewhere out there in the crowd. From England is Dave Kyle. And from Australia, we have Ron Graham. We searched the wide world over to find someone with a big heart. They have been found previously in New Zealand, Don Tuck. We went behind the Iron Curtain on one occasion for the late Herbert Heusler. The creator of Perry Rhodan has received the award. And this evening, it's Ladies' Day, in effect. I think it would be about time for Joan Berger. She is not the winner, but if she would start making her way up here. It's Ladies' Day this time. We have a female winner, unfortunately not with us. I've been used for many years to having her greet me, be one of the first people at the convention, but she had a very unfortunate accident in the family, lost her sister, and is not with us this evening. Also, I'm on a bit of a spot for the pronunciation of the lady's name, but Bob Block and Bob Tucker and Bijo Trimble, Rick Snary, many of the previous winners felt that Elaine W-O-J-C-I-E-W-O-W-S-K-I was the lady most entitled. I think W-O-J-C-I-E perhaps is pronounced Wojcki, so we let the Wojcki win.
Elaine is sorry that she can't be here, but I'm kind of glad that she didn't hear what Forey did to her last name.
I told him just to sneeze it. But actually, Forey strikes a poignant note there when mentioning E. Everett Evans and wondering how many of you heard of E. Everett Evans, who has been dead, I believe, 19 years now. You don't even have to be dead to be forgotten in this field. It's a sad thing how swiftly your name flows by. Ed Earl Repp. Who knows Ed Earl Repp? Let's hear it for Ed Earl Repp. The Legion of the Forgotten. Lloyd Arthur Eshbach. Eshbach was once guest of honor at a Worldcon, even during my lifetime. And do you know Lloyd Arthur Eshbach? Do you know Lloyd Arthur Eshbach? No. Forgotten. Robert A. Heinlein. You still remember him, huh? Who? What was that name there? Silverberg? Well, Heinlein may be forgotten, but he's not gone. He's right down there in the front row. He's that man in the white suit with the small red stain on one arm. Okay, onward, ever onward. Even though this is called the World Science Fiction Convention, we do take into account what goes on in the creepy-crawly world of fantasy fiction, too. And we have a Creepy Crawly Award that has become part of the... Now, that's unkind, because some of our greatest
people have won this award, and it's a pretty award, too. I saw it over there just before I dropped in, and it was very... It's the Gandalf Award for Grandmasters of Fantasy. And Lynn Carter presents this award each year. And Lynn, if he has not been carried off by Cthulhu, will advance now slowly to the stage. Yes, there he is, moving pretty well for a man his age. Lynn Carter.
Thank you, and welcome to the state in which I was born. The J.R.R. Tolkien Memorial Award for Achievement in Fantasy, which is popularly known as the Gandalf, is awarded annually to the writer, the living writer, for his lifetime contribution to the genre of fantastic fiction. The award was initiated in 1973, and the previous winners, the first winner, very appropriately, was Professor Tolkien himself, followed by Mr. Fritz Leiber, and by last year's Grandmaster, L. Sprague de Camp. You may think of it as a Grandmaster Award. It's not for any one book or story, but for a lifetime. The nominations for Grandmaster of Fantasy 1977, Poole Anderson. Ursula K. Le Guin. Mr. C.S. Lewis. And Miss Andre Norton. And the winner is... Miss Andre Norton. Andre Norton could not be with us today. She's here in spirit. She's alive and well, don't get me wrong. Accepting the award for Andre Norton is another marvelous lady fantast, Miss C.J. Sherry, the author of The Gate of Ivril. Incidentally, this is what it looks like. It's an original bronze sculpture by the Californian sculptor Dale Enzenbacher.
I know that Andre is going to be so touched that you all voted this award for her, and I'm very, very happy that she won it. Thank you.
At this point, it is my honor to present the Hugos for 1847. Will Nathaniel Hawthorne... Jules Verne... and L. Sprague de Camp... I shouldn't do stuff like that. My turn will come and it will be hideous. You want me to do the Hugos now, don't you? Yeah. Boy, I'm not going to yet. I remember the first time I was up for Hugo. 1956 it was. I know how the suspense can mount. It was in New York on a really hot night. The New York summer climate, you know, is exactly like the stuff out there, except air conditioning hadn't been invented in 1956. And Tony Boucher was the toastmaster. Tony astounded everybody that night by taking his jacket off. He said, it's just too damned hot. And for Tony to take his jacket off in front of 2,000 people was quite an extraordinary event. Anyway, there I was, all the way back there, waiting for my Hugo category to come up. Sitting there, I thought, cool as a cucumber, relaxed, not budging, my arms folded, my face in the usual scowl. And finally, they got to my category, and behold, I won. And I came up, and I got my Hugo, and I walked back down there, and there was a woman sitting behind me. She was Chris Moskowitz, although I didn't know that then. And may not even have been Chris Moskowitz at that point, Christine Haycock, M.D., I believe, soon to marry Sam. And she said, no wonder you were so restless all night, rocking back and forth, and so much for being cool as a cucumber. Anyway, before I can do the Hugos, you know, I want to go to the parties too. We got more things. There was an editor in this field once, not too long ago, named John W. Campbell. He became editor of a magazine called Astounding Stories when I was 2 years old, and he continued for a long, long time, and he was the greatest editor this field has ever known. John has gone from us now, but we have an annual award, the John W. Campbell Award for the Best New Science Fiction Writer of the Year. And it will be presented this year by Mrs. Peg Campbell and by John's grandson, Justin Campbell Robertson.
One of the most important things to John was the future. And as a sort of a backwards tribute, I would like to present John's grandson, who is indicative of what we're facing in the future. The Condé Nast Award, the John W. Campbell Award, for the Best New Science Fiction Writer of the Year is to C.J. Cherryh.
I want to thank you very much for voting for me. I'm very excited. And I want to congratulate also the other nominees, because I think just to be nominated for this award is a great honor. Thank you very much.
Now, those of you who have studied the fine print in the World Science Fiction Society bylaws know that it is within the province of the committee to make a special award to whomever they please. And they have exercised that privilege this year. This year, an extraordinary event has occurred in the entertainment world, an event very close to the science fiction universe, as a matter of fact. A movie opened a few months ago. Science fiction movie. And behold, the lines to see this movie stretch from Mia Mifla all the way to New Jersey. It's a movie called Star Wars.
And the committee, in its infinite wisdom, its elbow jogged only slightly by the force, has decided to give a plaque to the people responsible for this movie in recognition of the extraordinary foo-for-all that Star Wars has caused. This plaque says the 35th World Science Fiction Convention, SunCon, special award to George Lucas for giving us Star Wars and bringing back a sense of wonder to the movies. Now, George Lucas was not able to come here tonight to collect this plaque, but we have the producer of Star Wars, Mr. Gary Kurtz. Thank you very much. George wanted me to tell you that he's sorry he couldn't be here tonight. He's still away. But the Wookiee is standing in for him. We did want to tell you that you were the audience that made Star Wars possible and will make future sci-fi and fantasy films work. Sorry. I should know better. It took a long time to convince anybody in Hollywood that there was any audience out there at all. I hope that the best thing that can happen is that we'll get a lot more, and probably 75% of it won't be any good. But for that 25% that will be, it will all have been worth it. Thank you again very much. They'll let anything into these hotels. In case you wonder why they screamed and roared when you said sci-fi and fantasy, you're not supposed to do that. Get all those dudes and chicks out there angry at you. Here I've been sweating to entertain you for 4.5 hours and you hiss me. I've been menaced by alien monsters 5 or 6 inches taller than I am, and...